I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
All right, got Sue's News for a Monday edition in the next hour. You know, we have not visited with our friend Brad Young, 97.1 FM Talk legal analyst. We're going to do that. Sue, one of the stories that we'll follow this week is the trial for Daniel Penny in New York City.
Which one?
He was the guy.
The Marine.
Yes. And I got to tell you something. This one's so confusing to me because I keep looking for a reason that this dude should be on trial for murder, and I have no idea why he is.
None of us do.
Right. So we'll get to that. Brad has taken a close look at that. We'll break it down. We got Cusumano coming up here to talk a little Mizzou football, Illinois football, and some baseball. And Steve Malenga from the City Journal in the 5 o'clock hour will talk a little bit about these crime numbers that have gotten worse in the last couple of weeks because they've revised them and tried to make them more accurate. So when Kamala Harris did her 60 Minutes sit down with Bill Whitaker, this is one of the answers and questions that came out.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen.
Okay, it really didn't matter what she said there. It was just really kind of offering an example. So that's what aired on 60 Minutes. But then this aired on Face the Nation.
It seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
All right, so they cleaned it up. And we're going to talk about this a little bit with our friend Charles Lipson, Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago, who wrote about this issue and others. How are you this afternoon, Charles? Happy Monday to you.
Well, I came from a middle-class family.
Yeah, you have to start that
way. She would have done better saying that than serving up that word salad. That all it was missing there was vinaigrette.
But here's what's interesting. So a lot of us flag that, including you. And I'm like, wait a second, that's a different answer. You're trying to clean it up. So 60 Minutes is then pressed. And one of the things that a lot of us want is the entire transcript to the interview. Doesn't seem that difficult. But they're getting a little pressure from media outlets. So they put this statement out that says former President Donald Trump is accusing 60 Minutes of deceitful editing of our October 7th interview with Vice President Kamala Harris. That is false. 60 Minutes gave an excerpt of our interview to Face the Nation that used a longer section of her answer than on 60 Minutes. Same question, same answer, but a different portion of the response. When we edit any interview, whether a politician, athlete, or movie star, we strive to be clear, accurate, and on point. The portion of her answer on 60 Minutes was more succinct, which allows time for other subjects in a wide-ranging 21-minute long segment. And then they say, remember Mr. Trump pulled out of this interview with 60 Minutes and the vice president participated. So listen, I'm a guy that's been editing audio and video for a long time in my career. And I'm going to rate that statement as partially true, Charles, because that does happen. You may Camo X might do a story down the hall and they may have a longer story. And then sometimes you do a shorter version. That's acceptable. But here's what's not acceptable. First of all, when you do it in a way to make the subject appear better, which they did there, and then couldn't this all just be settled if they release the whole transcript? And they won't do that. So I'm not giving 60 Minutes or CBS News any kind of pass with their, excuse here because they won't release the full transcript.
I think that's exactly right. The larger issue here, there are really two larger issues, I would say. One is about the media, and the other is about that candidate. About the media, mainstream or legacy media has completely lost the public's trust.
Completely.
I mean, and this is just the latest version. It's fine for them to do editing, but And what they said, let's assume that what they said was true. It still doesn't give them any reason, as you said, why they are not releasing the whole transcript. And in fact, I know Republicans who have not gone on 60 Minutes because they were afraid of the opposite kind of editing. They thought that it would be edited in ways that would make them look bad. And well, I think they had every reason to be
sure.
scared.
Sure. We have good examples of that. When Tiffany Justice went on 60 Minutes last spring to talk about what was Moms for Liberty, they completely did that. You know, the opposite. They deceptively edited that. And we had her on the air, and a lot of people did because they had to highlight that. But, of course, once you see it, once it's out there on the network, well, then what's done is done to a certain extent.
But the other part, that's exactly right. And the other part here is the candidate. Look, when you blow an interview by people who are backing you on The View, of all things, it's like you struck out at T-ball.
Yeah. Well, I like that analogy. So where does that bring us right now? I just did my monologue, Charles. You have Trump doing some brilliant retail politics, and all they can say is, well, that's a managed event. Of course, all political events are managed. You have Harris in the blue wall because I think they're a little worried right now because you see polling that's very tight in Michigan, in Wisconsin in particular. Then, of course, you know, a lot of focus on Pennsylvania. So we're 2 weeks out. A lot of people have voted. You have record turnout in Georgia where they predicted, of course, the new terrible law from the Republicans was going to restrict people from voting. North Carolina, they don't even have homes and they're voting right now. So this thing, I don't know what kind of closing message can still be presented to change minds. Trump even said this today. He doesn't really understand who undecided voters are. This thing is kind of locked and loaded, and now we just got to wait for the numbers to...
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come in.
I think that's right. The polling shows that all seven swing states are within the margin of error. But if you look at the betting markets, they favored Harris during basically the first month and a half or so of her candidacy. She had all the media behind her and all the rest. Those are now 60-40 against her. So the betting markets could be wrong. I mean, they're sometimes wrong on football games. But on average, you don't make money betting against the line on football games or baseball games or anything else. But I think that the trend is Trump's friend.
He's even making, look, he mentioned this today, the betting lines.
It's hard to believe you have undecided voters. I do hear about them, but you possibly do. But I think, look, if you believe in what's happening with the polls, if you believe in what's happened, they have a new phenomenon now, we'll call them the betting polls. I don't know if people are gambling on them. I can't imagine that's a proper thing to do, but perhaps they are. But one of them just came out, I guess the big one, we're 63 to 33, something like that. That's a pretty big margin. I don't know if they know what they're doing. I have no idea who they are, but it's a very big poll. They quote it all the time.
The point is everything you just said, because, yeah, it is interesting that those particular odds have opened up a little bit more. And I guess we feel that the momentum has shifted to Trump, certainly.
I think that's right. I think that part of the problem could be that the more people see of Harris, the less they like. But it also could be that she has really unable to say off the top of her head what her policies are for anything. And apparently today she changed her mind again on drilling. So I think that, she has a problem. Anybody who's a vice president in an unpopular administration is always going to have a problem. But she really hasn't figured out a way to deal with that, and she's just awful at dealing with impromptu. Wait a minute, my screen just froze. I can't complete my answer.
Yeah, that's what happened. Well, it happened to her.
It actually happened, and all she could say, I mean, it was a Ron Burgundy moment.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. In that you're going to see, look, people feel that. You know, we were just talking and kind of addressing the issue of Trump at the McDonald's. You can kind of feel, and I know a lot of people that hate him don't want to hear this, but he does come off as more genuine. Certainly, it's a staged event. All political events, especially at the presidential level, are staged. But he's resonating in ways that I think a lot of the Democrats certainly had not expected this time around. Have you taken a look? You know, I lived in Wisconsin for a long time. That's a weird state politically. But Michigan really fascinates me right now because in most of the polling, in the Real Clear Politics average right now, he's up 1.2 points. If he wins Michigan, and I would assume that a lot of that's going to be driven by auto workers, right, and people who want their jobs to not go to wind and solar and EVs.
That's exactly what it is. I've said that from the very beginning, that everybody's concentrated on a relatively small Arab Muslim vote in Michigan, and that will hurt this particular Democratic candidate. Actually, I think for the wrong reasons. They have said, they call Joe Biden supporting genocide, and they say the same thing about Kamala Harris. I don't think that's true at all. But I do think that every automobile company is losing huge amounts of money on EVs. And this is just not something that auto workers can tolerate. They're just going to back out of backing her. They're going to support Trump.
Well, and that's where I feel, you know, she's in both actually, I think she's in all three, and I don't think that's ever happened. Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. So I guess credit to the Democrats for not ignoring Wisconsin, because that's what Hillary did last time. But that certainly, I think, indicates panic. And here's my standard question every day of the campaign, too. Where the hell is Tim Walz? Where's that guy? Do we know?
Well, I think, he's proven to be just awful as a campaigner. And one of the problems that the Democrats have is that they picked the wrong vice presidential candidate, and they could have and should have picked
Josh Shapiro
from Pennsylvania.
I think that's...
who is very articulate and smart, but he had this big problem. He was Jewish.
You know, I have a piece. I'm going to let you go, and we're going to talk one more time before the election, but I have a really good piece of audio with Josh Shapiro being pressed, believe it or not, being pressed by Kristen Welker on Meet the Press, and he can't get out of it, and that was interesting as well. Charles, 2 weeks to go. We'll talk probably next week or the Monday before. Great to hook up on this Monday.
It's great to talk to you, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Have a great week. That's Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. We're coming back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.